This is joint work with May Kuo, who's one of the speakers today, and Doug Evans at RTI International. And this work was supported by an R21 grant from the National Cancer Institute. And here's the disclaimer. A lot of attention has been paid in publications and the literature regarding whether mammography facilities are available or accessible to women. But we're interested in studying a state that's culturally diverse, ecologically diverse, large, has heterogeneity along the urban-rural continuum, and women, a sample of women who all have health insurance through traditional Medicare, but still don't get mammography. And so our research question or goal is why? What are the other factors that impact whether or not women get their mammograms? And this slide is just to show that the facilities per 1,000 women are not always where the elderly women live. So if you look at the two pink maps, the dark red areas are the areas with the greatest density of women and facilities, and you see they don't exactly coincide with each other. What's interesting is that mammography use in California is generally higher per capita in an area in the more rural areas. We study about 70,000 women in California using the SEER Medicare data. About a third of the women in these data have a cancer diagnosis, and the remainder are a 5% random sample drawn from the Medicare claims files or from the Medicare enrollment database. It's important to exclude women who have an HMO coverage any time during the year or don't have both parts A and B Medicare. Otherwise, they couldn't possibly have a claim in our data, and since we're using claims to identify mammograms, if the claims aren't there, then we'll get an undercount of the mammography screening rate. In these data, over half of the people live in the same zip code as a mammography facility, and less than 3% of them have to go more than 10 miles to a mammography facility. So the facilities really are close by. Rather than just throw everything and the kitchen sink into our empirical regression modeling, we developed a conceptual model. And this model is a unique blend of several from the literature, and it recognizes explicitly the spatial interaction between people and their contextual environments. Apart from whether the facilities are available, we're interested in person-level factors, which we call demand factors, healthcare system factors, which we call supply factors, and then environmental factors. These are the barriers or facilitators along the way to healthcare utilization. And our conceptual model is a hybrid that blends aspects of the Addy Anderson behavioral model with socio-ecological modeling that was, I think, first put forward by Smedley and Syme. It's been adopted by Schultz. And the spatial interactions model of Kahn and Bardwaj, which has been adopted by the World Health Organization. So we blend these three things together, and the reason we do this hybrid is we are particularly interested in the levels of influence of contextual factors on women's outcomes. Some variables are important at the county level, some are important at the state level, some are important if they're in the person's immediate neighborhood. So these levels of influence are something that we really try to conceptualize with our model. So in the model, the large white background is the larger scale macro contextual factors, and these are things like political factors, residential segregation, distribution of wealth, educational opportunities, things that will influence the distribution of resources between counties or areas of a state. At the more local level, but still intermediate, are these intermediate or community factors. Here we have characteristics of the healthcare system. Things like number of hospitals, number of doctors, physical environment, the commuting environment, crime safety, built environment, those sorts of things. The most interpersonal approximate factors are things that affect a person's behavior in their interaction with their neighbors or friends. And we think that these are probably the most important factors that affect behavior. And these are psychosocial factors, social integration, driver courtesy, so forth and so on. And then the white circle here is the Ad A. Anderson model. So what we've done is we've added different levels of context to what Addie and Anderson started with back in the 70s. And ultimately, all of these levels of influence impact a person's behavior, which includes mammography use, and then ultimately their health outcomes. So there are some issues with the SEER Medicare linkage. I won't dwell on this slide too much, but if you're using these data, you really need to clean them for women who were in HMOs who didn't have Part A or Part B. Or you will end up with people in the sample who are sort of kept along from year to year who couldn't possibly file a claim, and so you won't have any medical information on those women. We lost about half our sample after we did that cleaning. An important thing about this is that the 5% Medicare reference sample is not a spatially representative sample. They pick people for the 5% sample based on the last two digits of their identifier code. I don't think it's a Social Security number, but it's an identifier code. And if a person's last two numbers of their ID code are 56, for example, and they're picked in 1990, then they're picked again in 1991, 92, 93. So if you have those two digits in your ID code, you will be in the sample over time. So it's a longitudinal sample in a sense. But since the people are picked by numbers on their ID code, it's not designed to do spatial sampling in the sense that an adequate number of people will be picked from each county in the country representing the people who live in that county. It's just a random mix. So it represents people in the country as a whole, but it doesn't represent people in particular counties in smaller areas within states. And this slide shows that we formed a ratio of the 5% sample to actual 5% of the elderly women from the census, and where the slide is dark red, the 5% sample over-represents women, and where it's light gray, it under-represents women, and where it's red, it's about right on average. And if you know the geology or topography of California, you can see that the oversampling is done more in the rural areas, because those tend to be inland. So since it's not a spatially representative sample, we can't do spatial regression analysis, which is what we wanted to do and what we proposed doing when we got this grant. And the reason you can is that you don't know that you have all of the person's neighbors in the sample. In fact, you know you don't have the person's neighbors, and so you can't do some sort of spatial interaction between people and their neighbors. So as an alternative, we use multi-level modeling with logistic regression, and we use the GEE approach, the General Estimating Equations approach in SAS. May did this part. And this is a multi-level modeling approach that is really sort of robust and general. It's not as detailed as hierarchical linear modeling, for example, where you would be interested in each unit's, the intrinsic characteristics of each unit, say a school with pupils within it. Well, here we have geographic areas with people in it. Those geographic areas themselves are not of any interest to us. So we're not interested in modeling an intercept for each geographic area, for example. So we don't use the HLM. We use the GEE modeling. And what that does is it adjusts the standard errors in the model appropriately for the fact that women who are in the same county, for example, will have all of the same county contextual variables. So that variable will be repeated again and again. And that redundancy will cause the variable to seem very important in a statistical sense when it really is not. So we correct for that using the GEE. So, let's skip this one. What did we find? Well, from the Ade Anderson model person level effects, that group of variables, we found that women who had obtained a flu shot from their doctor were about 17% more likely to use mammography. So we think getting a flu shot from the doctor is sort of an indicator of a person's investment in their personal health or interest in their personal health. With each year of age, there is about a 1.4% decline in probability of use on average. Women in our sample, we cut it off at 104, but there are actually some older than 104 in our sample who didn't use it all. Women who changed residence in the past year is something that no one's looked at that I know of, and such women are 6% less likely to use mammography. And that's just the disruption of moving, I think. And then persons with disabilities are 5% less likely. Dually eligible are about 0.5% likely for each month of eligibility, and it's because it's measured on a monthly basis. If someone is dually eligible for the entire 24 months, then they're 12% less likely to get a mammogram, which is a pretty significant probability. We use Massey and Denton's isolation index as a measure of racial or ethnic residential segregation. And that what this means is for each small area in our geographic data, we calculate this isolation index for blacks, Native Americans, Asians, Hispanics, and other. And if a woman lives in an area that has a high isolation index, it means that they live in an area where some race or ethnicity is really clustered or segregated into a sort of an enclave. Looking at our person-level variables, or person-level race, for example, not including these isolation variables in the model would make the individual's race or ethnicity seem much bigger and more important than it actually is. So it's important to control for this context if you want to understand the composition effects from our sample. So the person's own race is significant, as are the residential segregation indices. Running out of time, so I'll go quickly. These are just some maps showing the segregation. The Hispanic segregation or isolation is everywhere. They tend to live in very segregated quarters. The other races and ethnicities in California have high segregation only in very isolated areas. They tend to be more thoroughly mixed through the population. We found a very interesting interaction effect, and that is if you're American Indian or Alaska Native and you live in a American Indian or Alaska Native enclave, you are much more likely to get your mammogram. The opposite is true for people who are black, who live in black enclaves, or Hispanic, who live in Hispanic enclaves. Those women are actually less likely to get their mammogram if they live in more segregated communities. Commuter intensity is another variable which we find to be a very large effect. A woman who lives in an area where there are a lot of people commuting more than 60 minutes each way to work is 14% less likely to get a mammogram, and we call that the road rage effect. Elderly poverty, of course, is always an important predictor. And we look at some other interactions. Here are the areas where there are longest commutes. Bedroom communities to the bays. Here's where the elderly and poverty live. This people who are dually eligible, who live in poor neighborhoods, are actually better off than other women who are not dually eligible and live in those neighborhoods. Okay, and I have 1 minute left. So I'm just going to summarize the effects of physician or provider availability are tiny, so tiny they are almost are nothing compared to these other probabilities that I've been talking about. So the things like road rage, living in segregated community, living in an impoverished community, those are the factors that really explain why women who have medical insurance through traditional Medicare don't use their mammograms. So our model assessment, our model is a good fit. It's important to take home the idea that community contextual factors may have different impacts for different people. Women who live in different neighborhoods with different contextual environments will have different impacts on their mammography use. And this kind of heterogeneity is why spatial and multi-level modeling is so important. And the bottom line is, if you want to build an intervention that's going to actually improve healthcare utilization in an area, you need to consider this multiplicity of factors, as well as personal characteristics of the people in those communities. So I gave the references. You can get the slides online if you want to see some of these. Thank you.